Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, if he isn't yours, he wants to be. If he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he came to me, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, you may have started the day in the lost column, but by the grace of God, you can end it in the saved column. And how wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful that would be. Well, just like Todd said, we want to be a blessing. I'll tell you, that's our desire, mine and Debbie's, as she sings and as I preach and teach. It's our desire, friend, listen, first of all, to bring glory to God, then to be a benefit and a blessing to those who listen in, to those who invest their time. And we certainly want to invest our time. What a glorious, glorious privilege. That's a great responsibility. Trust me, folks, it is a great responsibility, but it's a glorious privilege due. I've opened my Bible to one of my favorite books, one of my favorite passages over in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. I'm going to read the first four verses, the good Lord willing, of that great writing of the Apostle Paul, his swan song, just as soon as Debbie does this message. The title of her song is Fastened to the Rock. And, you'll see, I believe, how it goes along with the message. I'll meet you back with 2 Timothy chapter 4 just in a couple of minutes. Enjoy!
Oh, sometimes my hope looks dim, but my faith must be in Him. Looking for answers to come while I wait. But I know one thing for sure, in Jesus Christ I am secure. And I know I am fastened to the rock. I am fastened to the rock of all ages. In Him I find sweet peace, this I know. For He tells me to be still, and He will show me His will. I must wait upon the Lord, stand on the rock. Now my hope is renewed, Lord, my strength, it comes from You. And I know with You that I'll carry on. For my anchor holds fast, rock that will ever last. How blessed I am to be fastened to the rock. I am fastened to the rock of all ages. In Him I find sweet peace, this I know. Show me
thank you, Debbie. How wonderful that is. Friend, listen, that's not the only place we can stand or build upon. There's a sand, but it won't stand. Look, if you're not on the rock, if you're not on the rock of ages, if you're not on the rock of ages, when, not if, but when the storms come, and especially that last storm of judgment, man, you're going to be in a hurt. All of us would be in a hurt if it wasn't for that rock of ages. Thank you for that, Debbie. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, this is what the Word of God says. Paul writing to a young man by the name of Timothy. I love these pastoral epistles in the book of 1st, 2nd Timothy, the book of Titus. How wonderful that it is. And this is, according to scholars, according to theologians, the last writing of the Apostle Paul. And when he laid down this pen, the pen of the great apostle was silenced. Listen, look, Nero, thank God I'm about to get happy. Nero, friend, listen, took his head without a doubt on the chop block of Rome. But I'll tell you, it didn't stop the apostle's message. Did it not? Didn't stop the Word of God. And Paul said this, in a time of apostasy, in the end times, in that day, friend, that's going to, precede the second coming of Christ. This is what Paul said. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His coming and at His appearing in His kingdom, He said, preach the Word. He said, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the reason for that is, it goes on in verse 4. He said, for the time will come. Folks, it has come. It is here. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, even themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Look at that first phrase, if you will, in the book, in this first verse here of 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he said, I charge thee. I want to talk to you today about this, keeping the charge. Keeping the charge. You know what a charge is? A charge is, it means to impose a task, a responsibility onto someone. And Paul, listen now, Paul was preaching and teaching and writing to a young man who was a pastor. Maybe he was down at Ephesus at that time. Paul knew that Timothy, friend, didn't have quite the personality that Paul did. Maybe he was a little weaker of some sort of other style. But Paul said, listen, Timothy, listen, son. He said, I charge thee in many ways, above all things, preach the Word of God. He said, it's a great responsibility. It's a great privilege that God has given unto us. I believe the writer of the Psalm said in 68 and 11, he said, the Lord gave the word, and great were the company of those that publish it. Hallelujah. What a great fraternity it is to be a part of those that cry aloud like Isaiah said, and spare not. Lift up our voice like a trumpet and show my people they're seeing a charge. Friend, it's a command. Do you hear it? It's an exhortation that comes with authority. And thank God for the charge that God has given unto us. Now I want you to notice, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, as who judge the quick and the dead, as appearing in His kingdom. Here's the charge. Preach the Word. Now listen, Paul didn't say preach about it. Paul didn't say preach somebody else's opinion of it. Paul didn't say anything but just give a clear, definite, declaration of that Word of God, which is and was and always shall be. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, look, when I come to you, I know I don't have anything else but this book. I don't have anything else in Tom Price. If I come to you in my name, you shouldn't listen. I shouldn't be doing that. But you know what I tell you? I'm glad that I can come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Say, God had issued a call in my life, commissioned me, given me a commandment to preach the Word of God. I feel sorry for those that think that they can just get in the ministry. I would tell you about a conversation that Tony Hudson talked about Tom Malone one time, a young man wanting to get in the ministry. Hey, look, friend, it's a calling, do you hear me? It's not a choice. It's not a choice like a vocation that we would pick to be a coal miner or a welder or a bus driver or whatever the case may be. Hey, listen, friend, the Bible says, I believe over in the book of Amos, maybe chapter 3, he said something like this, and I'm trying to find it really, really quickly. He said, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? I'll tell you, friend, listen, if you've got a call on your life, you better get at it. You better do it quick. You better do it as faithfully as you can, as consistently as you can, as humbly as you can, as faithfully as you command or can. Listen, we've been commanded how to preach the Word of God. We've been commissioned how to preach the Word of God. And I'll tell you, friend, no man has ever had a higher calling. No man has ever had a greater commission than to declare, thus saith the Lord. Oh, thank God, it amazes me that God has chosen clay vessels like me to declare the eternal truths of heaven, those things that affect the soul of man, those things that will help determine their eternal destiny. Oh, what a great responsibility. What a heavy task this is. But oh, hallelujah, aren't you glad we don't have to do it alone? We don't have to do it in our own power. Oh, we can do it in the power and the might and the strength of Almighty God. And oh, that's why we need that anointing. That's why we need that touch of God. Paul said, our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. In the book of 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians 2, when I came to you, came not with a wisdom of men's word, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. Oh, how we need men of God with the call of God upon them, with the touch of God within them, and oh, with the message they preach, to preach with the power of heaven. Don't we need that? Preach the Word, he said. What a charge, what a command that is, especially in these last days of apostasy. Listen, he tells us back over there in chapter 3, how that in the last days perilous times shall come. Boy, you look at those 18, 19 characteristics of peerless times, and look around in our world spiritually, in our world physically and naturally. We see them on display. We see them manifest in every way. And you know what Paul tells us in verse 13, I believe, of that chapter 3. Excuse me. He said that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceiving and being deceived. So really the unspoken question would be, from Timothy or anybody else reading it, what shall we do, Paul? What shall we do? Glory, hallelujah. Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Paul said simply and emphatically and gloriously this, but continue down the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard them, and that from a child, now watch where Paul points us to, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, because he said this scripture, this Bible, this Word of God. And by the way, he said in the King James Version, if you don't have the King James, bless God, you're at a real great disadvantage. But Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, what is right for reproof, what is wrong for correction, how to get what's wrong right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. And the purpose is that the man of God, the woman of God, that person of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Paul said, if it's that important in these days of the apostasy, in these days of falling away from the faith, Timothy, here's what you do. Here's the antidote. Here, bless God, is where we stand. Let's just preach the Word. Let's just keep the charge. Look, you know what the charge is? We're to preach the Word. And when we do, we're to do it prominently. I'll tell you what, listen, friend, there's nothing greater than the Word of God. We're not to be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed. Hallelujah. Paul said of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, according to Romans 1:16. Man, listen, we are to make it prominent in our life. Look, in fact, we're to make it preeminent. It's supposed to be preeminently proclaimed by you and I. I mean to tell you, we're to put it above and beyond anything else. We're not to replace a clear presentation of the Word of God by some kind of program, by some kind of dance team, by some kind of anything, friend. We're just simply, bless God, to rear back and preach the Word of God. Rear back and declare rightly divided, thus saith the Lord. Hey, friend, listen. We need to know what this book says, and then say no more, no less than what this book says. We're to make it prominent. We're to make it preeminent. I mean to tell you, it's supposed to have the highest place in our heart and in our life, and we're to do it primarily. Can I tell you, friend, listen, there is nothing that can replace, bless God, a clear presentation of the Word of God. Nothing can be, thus saith the Lord, that in some way or another is spoken at least 3,808 times in the Word of God, where it says the Word of the Lord came, or God said, or something like that. Oh, friend, listen, this is a primary thing in the life of a Christian, in the life of a church. It's what feeds it. It's what instructs it. It's what corrects it. Oh, friend, I'll tell you, we need the Word of God more than we need anything that I know. Keeping the charge means not only that we do it prominently or preeminently or primarily, but I'll tell you, when we preach it, we ought to preach it plainly. Say amen right there. And thank God we ought to be as plain with our speech as we can. We ought not to try to speak up to those intelligentsias in our congregations, because I'll tell you why. Bless God, if you reach the understanding of the small child, and that is listening, I'll guarantee you that intellectual elitist, or those that think they are, they'll get the message. Oh, didn't Jesus, the greatest preacher that ever walked planet Earth, didn't he use simple things? Didn't he use parables? Didn't he speak of things like the sower and the seed, like the fish net, like tares and wheat, and oh, I could go on and on. Didn't he use things that man could understand? We ought to be plain in our speech. Man, we listen, I believe it was Swindoll that said we ought to worry over words like a dog worries over a bone. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes 12:10 says this, that we ought to seek out for acceptable words, thank God. We ought not only preach it plainly, but we ought to preach it powerfully. Bless God, listen, friend. I don't know about you, but I pray that God would touch me, touch my lips, touch my heart, touch my mind when I stand out to declare the Word of God. Look, the Bible says that where is it at? Where is it at? Let me see if I can find it really quickly. He said in the book of 1 Thessalonians, I thought it was 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. You ever heard just a word only preacher? Ah, look, friend, listen. I don't care if you're a young preacher, an old preacher, an in-between preacher. You know what we need? We need the touch of God on our life. We need, friend, listen, that which maybe nobody can define or explain, but that which everybody can know when it's absent. Kind of like that woman that always prayed for everybody got in the pulpit in her church. Give him unction, Lord. Give him unction. Give him unction, Lord. Well, after several years of listening to her, man that sat behind her faithfully tapped her on the shoulder one day and said, honey, or sister, said, I want to ask you something. What do you mean when you ask God to give him unction? She thought just a minute and she said, well, said, I can't rightly tell you what it is, but I know when it isn't. Hey, man. Hey, we need our brothers that are preaching the Word of God. We need the power of the Almighty, that anointing from on high, that touch from yonder's world, that quickened of that Word that's already alive within us. We need to preach it plainly. We need to preach it powerfully. We need to preach it persistently. Man, we ought to lay line upon line, a statute upon statute, here a little, there a little. We ought to preach it. Bless God, we ought to preach it as persistently as we can. Nothing else matters. Nothing else takes the priority. Nothing else takes the preeminence. He said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul was talking about the gospel, he said, I declare unto you, first of all, having that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, was buried, and that on the third day He came out from among the dead, according to the Scripture, how He was raised according unto the Scripture. Hey, friend, we ought to be persistent in our declaration of the Word of God. You know how else we ought to do it? We ought to do it faithfully. Thank God. Listen, we ought to be faithful. The Bible said God has accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. We ought to be faithful with this old book. We ought to be faithful in our reading of it, our studying of it, our searching of it, our rightly dividing of it, our presenting of it, our teaching it, our living it. Oh, listen, friend, we ought to be faithful in our charge to proclaiming of the Word of God, and we ought to do it fully. Bless God, when we preach faithfully, I believe we will do it fully. Paul told the elders down at Ephesus, bless God, when he's on his way to Jerusalem and then to Rome, to the chop block and then to glory. You know what he done? He said, I'm not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We ought to preach from Genesis 1:1 out of Revelation 22:21. We ought to preach, bless God, those great doctrines. There is no minor doctrines. We ought to preach from the Proverbs, from the Psalms, from the prophets. We ought to preach the law. We ought to preach from Genesis to Malachi. We ought to preach the Gospels. We ought to preach the history book of the New Testament, the epistles to specific churches, the epistles known as the general epistles. We ought to preach that great book written to the Hebrews. Listen, we ought to preach that book on the revelation. We ought to preach that book on the rapture of the church and the revelation of the church, or of Jesus Christ. Hey, friend, there ought not be any of it we call. And we ought to be faithful, if we can, by the grace of God, to rightly divide it. And you know how you rightly divide it? You study. You stay at it. You stay consistent with it. You burn the midnight oil. Bless God. You pray. You seek God's help. You seek the wisdom of other man. Hey, bless God. But you always call upon God in prayer. More to do it faithfully, fully, and then freely. Now listen. And I believe men ought to be supported and supported well. But can I tell you, bless God, He said, freely have received, freely give. Hey, folks, we ought to just shout it out. You say, how should we do it, preacher? Well, my time's about up, but let me just give you some words. We ought to be careful when we do it. We ought to do it carefully. Bless God, we ought to remember that we're dealing with souls of men and women that will exist somewhere for eternity. How we ought to do it clearly. There ought to be plainness of speech. You can use big words, theological terms, but define them immediately after you use them. Let people know. Don't try to lose them. Try to help them and feed them and clarify. And we ought to do it consistently. We ought to do it above anything else. Bless God, that ought to be primary. It ought to be of first importance. We ought to do it honestly. We are to do it humbly. And we are to do it wholly for the glory of Almighty God. Hey, Paul said, Timothy, keep the charge. Keep the charge. And the charge is, preach the word. Bless God, it's the only hope. I mean to tell you, it's the only thing that'll stand when the world's on fire. God's going to shake this old earth one day soon. And the only thing, bless God, that's on that firm foundation will stand. And the word will stand. And those that are on the word, in the word, have the word in them. Hey, listen, friend, we're up against it. But God's given us, listen, the sword of the Spirit as our offensive weapon. I'll tell you what, it will also defend us. So let's listen. Let's keep the charge. Hey, you men of God, be just that and nothing else. For God's glory, until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.